One of the things that we've seen a lot of as we travel are divine appointments. And I mean appointments designed by God, for God, for the kingdom, for us to be alive. And quite frankly, we've just seen so many opportunities that God has nudged us to witness, nudged us to be His living witness and to bear witness to what He says. You've heard me teach many times on the last words of Messiah. He says, I want you to bear witness of me to the ends of the earth. Well, for some reason, we don't do that. The body of Christ, as in general, says the body of Christ is lukewarm. And if we're lukewarm, we're dead. If we're dead, death has covered us and allowed us to be consistent in death. And we're not called to be dead. We're not called to be lukewarm. We're called to be a city of light. We're called to be on fire. We're called to be God's people, God's representatives. So, you know, that old song, some glad day, when this life is o'er, I'll fly away. Well, the Spirit of God is not waiting for us to go to the grave and fly away. The Spirit of God is on the body of Messiah right now. And as we've discussed many times, there is a great revival that's starting. And it's not for salvation, it's for the church. To see the church come alive. And I believe that this program that our church is involved in, Turning the Tide, is about pastors coming together and believing that God is going to do things. Now, as I've said before, we haven't come together because we've been so caught up in doctrine that, oh gosh, when you meet somebody, you ask, you know, gee, where do you go to church? And they say, well, we go to this church. And I was like, oh, I'll put you in this box. Oh, you go to this church, I'll put you in this box. Oh, you're Catholic or you're Mormon. No, I won't even put you in a box. I'll just discard our conversation. And what God is saying is, if somebody loves God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and they go to this church, it doesn't matter. Because we'll never be alike. We'll never have the same doctrine until we're all dead and Jesus chews us all out. But we do have something in common. What do we have in common with other Christians? The presence of God and the love for the kingdom and the love for God. If we have that love for God, and this person has that love for God, he's my brother. I mean, I met a guy yesterday. He had a big old beard and long hair. And then when he comes up and says, oh, this is Pastor, a different Pastor Mike. This is Pastor Mike. And I just asked him, I said, do you love God with all your heart? And he says, yeah. And I never asked him where he went to church, where he pastors. I didn't care. And I said, come here. Bearded Wonders need hugs. And I just gave him a hug. And I said, in Christianity, you're ugly because you got a beard and long hair. But in the Spirit of God, you represent the presence of God. Because Jesus had a long beard and he didn't own a pair of scissors. And he goes, yeah, that's right. Praise God. And later on, I told him, well, Jesus went to church on Saturday. And he said, whoa, I guess he did. So I put together a 6-point presentation on divine appointments. And I think Archie passed out some notes. So I'm not going to go and read every one of these things. But the presence of God was all over a chosen representative of Abraham. God anointed Abraham and said, I will bless you and you will be the father to the number of the stars in the sky and the sands in the sea. And so Abraham had Isaac and Jacob. And this is about Jacob. Let me just move past this slide here. What is a divine appointment? A divine appointment is a moment in time when you encounter God, God's presence, or God's encouragement. When you encounter, you have this touch. Sometimes when I was a kid, I went to back east, to Kansas and some other places for revivals and stuff like that. And the Spirit of God just came on me, and during the altar call, I prayed for like 3 or 4 hours until finally the janitor said, "Will you please go home? I want to close up." But God's anointing was on me, and I knew I had a divine appointment with God. This encounter with God, or God's presence, brought encouragement to my life. And so when you come across a person or a group that is significant in God's purpose for you, or you come into a circumstance that takes place that you realize has been set up by the Holy Spirit. And so a divine appointment is, one, with you and God, two, with you and others, and three, with circumstances and knowing. Like, for instance, Karen and I were driving in a snowstorm up past Vail, and all of a sudden, it just got so bad. All the four-wheel trucks, the macho trucks, big giant things were pulled off the road because the snow was so bad, and they had slid off the road. And we were going in slow lane, fairly safe, you know, 45 up by Vail. And this truck passes me, this big heavy-duty oil tanker, semi, and I get behind it, and all of a sudden, he started to change lanes. As he moved into the right lane, he began to fishtail. And the fishtail was getting worse, and all of a sudden, I felt like I heard God say, "Punch it, Elmore." So I told God that's not my name. But anyway, so he fishtailed and went this way, and I just stepped on it and passed him. And as I passed him, he fishtailed, and the tanker came up behind me, and he crashed. And it never touched me. It was like he kissed my bumper, and I just kept on going. And all of a sudden, the whole Highway 70 was closed. And so we told, I'm not sure who we called, Wendy, Andrea, Yvette, or somebody, and they said, "Oh, boy, that was God." And looking behind it, we know that God protects us. And many times in our life, we look back in our life and we can say, "Wow, that was God." And that's one thing I encourage you to do, is train yourself to hear his voice. Because many times you'll know that was God, and you can look back on it and you say, "Wow, that was a voice of God. That was a presence of God." So these are some of the criteria for those three. And so as I go through this, you have to be alive. And the dead in Christ are not alive. But you've got to be alive. The dead Messiah shall awake first. You know, that's a scripture. And guess what? The dead in Christ are rising right now. We think that the dead in Christ are going to rise first. We put that into a category called doctrine. And doctrine says when we die and we're rotten in the grave for, you know, thousands of years, that when God blows the last trumpet, that all of these dead bodies are going to rise up. Well, I don't know if that's true or not. I know I've heard the last trumpet in my life, and I can't go back to the world. I can't go back to a lot of things. But the dead in Christ will rise first. That's me. I'm rising. I'm rising to see the presence of God. I'm not dead anymore. How about you guys? If we're dead, we're still going to a lukewarm fellowship. If we're alive, we need to be alive. If we're alive, we bear witness. If we're alive, we have divine appointments. If we're alive, we lay hands on strangers. If we're alive, we see and believe the Spirit of God is going to touch one another. If we're alive, I don't know if this guy's my brother or not, but I'm going to be nice to him and find out. And everywhere we go, we are the witnesses of God. We are the Spirit of God. We are God's anointed, because God on earth is the bride. And guess what? Look at somebody and say, "He's talking about you." So, there's an old song by somebody when I was younger. I don't know who did it, but he said, Don Francisco. Hey, pretty good. Thanks, Mike. And Messiah heals this guy's daughter, and the father and Messiah says, "Now don't tell anybody." And he's going, "Oh man!" And the song goes, "I got to tell somebody. I just got to tell somebody what Jesus did for me." So I want you to know that the Spirit of God is on you. You're alive, and would you please turn around and tell 4 or 5 people you're alive? Praise God! Tell somebody. It's a miracle of God. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Praise God. You know, it's good to see people alive. You know, I can always tell as I say stuff like that, there's people there going, yeah, well, that's the way it goes. I ain't turning around. I ain't talking to anybody. Praise God. Hallelujah. I love God. I'm a Christian. I don't need to talk to anybody else. Besides that, you smell bad. So, pardon me?
That's just the doctrine's
smell. It is. What that is flesh. Flesh says, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. But the Spirit of God says, do that. And I make you practice in church because people love you. It doesn't matter if you mess up. It doesn't matter if you have body odor. It doesn't matter if you have bad breath. People still love you. I don't know why, but they still love you. And the fact is, you're practicing. And what does practice do? Practice makes... I can't hear you. Practice makes... So you should practice. So tell somebody you're on fire for God. Tell somebody they're alive. Praise God. Go ahead and tell somebody. And go ahead. Jerry, play the video if you can. If you walk out of the grave, that Messiah is walked out of the grave. And we're walking to the grave and Messiah's walking out. Praise God. Yeah. If you walk out of the grave, I'm walking to. Oh Jesus, if you walk out of the grave, walking to. You walk out. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Body down. Ain't no grave can hold my body down. When you hear that song, there ain't no grave that can hold my body down. What do you think of when you're dead? But the grave is what? The grave is unclean darkness. It's a realm of death. And the realm of death is what we're talking about. Cannot hold my body in this ground. Because Jesus walked out of the grave and so will I. And that's what God has put on my heart. I can't prove that biblically. I'm not going to worry about it. Whatever God wants to do at the end of my time is up to God, not me. But I believe that there ain't no grave, there ain't no realm of death. So why do we put the realm of death only there when the realm of death is alive and the realm of death is all over us and the realm of death is on the world, but the realm of death has one goal, and that's to keep the body down, to keep the body of Christ down, and to keep the body of Christ lukewarm, and to keep them down and dead. And guess what? There ain't no realm of death can keep the bride of Christ down. And God is rising up the bride of Christ, because the bride of Christ is going to do the work. And the bride of Christ are the ones that are going to say, "Whoa, sinners, come. Whoa, world, come. Church, come. And let the Spirit of God be on your body." And that's out of Revelation. And God is doing a mighty work right now, whether you want to or not, whether you're going to be part of the Spirit of life or you're going to be part of the lukewarm, you can make a choice. But God is not waiting upon us. He has a movement of the Spirit right now that's challenging the realms of normal lifestyle, because normal lifestyle does not want us to represent and bear witness of God. In the last day, the bride is the Spirit of Messiah. I'm saying the bride is the Spirit of Messiah. And the bride is going to do the work. Greater works is the bride going to do than Messiah did on this earth. Greater works are we going to do. And it's not going to happen because all of a sudden I believe in outrageous miracles. It's because God is teaching us like we raise children. We raise children to do little things. And as they get older, they do more and more. And as they get older, they learn to be rebellious, just like us. And as they get older, they become adults and start doing the traditions of the Father and serve God. But the body of Christ is like children, and we need to start believing in the small things. We need to start laying hands and believing in prayer, believing in healing. I believe Pastor Mike, who has one lung, and breathes, you know, half a breath, I believe the power of God is going to restore that and bring and put a new lung in him. He's probably already got one already, because he acts normal. And the last time I heard him breathe, he breathes normal. So God is doing a mighty work. So whether the doctors see what's called an official physical lung, there is something that God has given Mike, because Mike has that kind of authority. And the same thing with me. I was walking along one day, and boom, I have a stroke. And so, boom, I can't see. My eye, I'm blind in one eye, and I can hardly walk. And I was in a wheelchair, and I couldn't even talk back then. That's right. But you know what? I believe God has done a mighty work in restoring me. I can almost talk as good as you. I can almost walk. I can't run, so I don't enter into races anymore. But I can't throw a football. I was with Isaac, and I learned to throw a football with my left hand. And so I can throw a football. It's just, Isaac, you know, get a little closer. And so, anyway, I believe the realm of death is what's on the body of Christ. And guess what? Isaiah 61 says, we are going to be the ones. You are going to look at somebody and say, he's talking about you. You are going to be the ones that bring life to the brokenhearted. Praise God. And so I want us to raise our hands, and we're going to pray. Father God, I pray right now that all of us here that have their hands raised, if you don't have your hands raised, raise it. I believe God is going to anoint the hands of those in this fellowship to have a divine appointment with you, and a divine appointment with a person in their lives that will do nothing but encourage them and strengthen them. In Yeshua's name, we believe this, and the power of God on our lives. Amen, amen, praise God, hallelujah. So we're going to start believing in little things. Oh, it's good to see my grandson, Nathan. Hi, Nathan. Praise God. Anyway, I just believe God is going to do a mighty work. I believe God's going to do a mighty work. I see John back here. I don't see Wayne or anybody else, but I'm going to go be with John in Moab next week. So thank you, John. I'm glad you're here. John, raise your hand so people can see. This is John. He's from Moab. Praise God. So anyway, so you have to be alive. There ain't no realm of death going to hold you down at death or now. No realm of death is going to hold me down now. Right now, right now, I'm alive. I'm alive in Messiah. Isaiah says, be alive. Shake the dust off your feet. So we can shake the dust off our feet. That's about as good as I can do. And what for? Because we're going to walk into the world and be God's representative. Praise God. So here we go. Kyla, Jerry, somebody, go to slide 6. Sure. Oh, okay. It's not up here. All I wanted you to know is I'm on a mission from God. How about you? Okay, then we can say we're on a mission from God. Now, when we're dead and lukewarm, we're on no mission other than maybe hurry up and preach the sermon so I can go to Denny's and eat. You know, because they got to get there before 12. If we're on a mission from God, it's because we're alive and God has laid hands on you and anointed you, and you know you're on a mission from God. Anybody agree?
Yes.
Okay. If you're on a mission from God, you're alive and you're going to bear witness and you will have divine appointments everywhere you go.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. So, remote, slide 6. Okay. There we go. Oops. Okay. I've got 6 of these, and hopefully you have notes so you can read all the fine print. But in Jacob's life, it was during a time of depression. He just robbed his brother's blessing, the firstborn birthright, and he fled for his life. And he got stuck out in the middle of nowhere, and it was late, and he was traveling. He didn't even know where he was going. And God laid him down, and he laid his head down at a place called Bethel. And this is a story, and God gave him a dream. And he later knew that Bethel, house of God, was anointed. And so God gave him a divine appointment. And so a divine appointment often takes place when you're in a vulnerable moment. It's God saying to Jacob, you're mine. God has said to you, you're mine. If you are God's, then don't act like you're part of the world or you're part of Hasatan's group. You are God's for one purpose. You have a purpose for God. And it's like we just heard Belushi say, if you're God's, then God has anointed you to believe you're on a mission from God. Praise God. And so let me go through this. I just have a lot of stuff in here. Oops, I lost number 2. There we go. Number 2, a divine appointment turns distress to worship. So when you have an appointment with God, when God is there, it'll turn anything you have to worry about, any distress, into praise. Praise God, because God has called us to praise Him in all things. Praise Him in the morning, praise Him in the afternoon, and praise Him when things are going right, but praise Him. Praise God. Praise God. When things go wrong, begin to praise God. And as you praise God, it turns into faith. It turns into glory. And your heart will be on fire for God when you begin to praise Him during times of distress. And so let me take you to number 3. When you have a divine appointment, your perspectives or your goals or your what you think is important begins to change. And here Jacob had fear running away, and then Jacob knew that God was here and he became alive. When you become alive, you are God's and God's vessel, God's tool. As God's tool, the world doesn't have a chance. If what I'm saying is true, then we need to share this with your friends, your family, your relatives. We need to get other churches on fire for God. We need to see God's anointing be alive so that we can say, hey, you Baptists, hey, you Methodists, hey, let's come together and pray. Oh, I'm not sure I can do that. In the name of Messiah, you can do it, and we can do it together, and we're going to lift up the body of Christ. We're going to believe in you know, the prayer of us. You know, when Jesus said, when 2 or 3 are together, but we've made sure that we don't come together because we are messianics or whatever we are. I don't even think we're messianics anymore. But we are something, and they go to church over here, so they're something, and they go to church over here. So let's put doctrine aside. Let's put doctrine aside and put together what we have in common. Do you love God with all your heart? Then we have a lot in common, and we can come together. If we start coming together and believing in prayer, I was really impressed. I met a tiny little blonde woman, real tiny, skinny woman. And she said to me, "I believe Roe versus Wade is going to be overturned. I believe that the power of God has anointed us to believe in our prayer." And that was Wanda. She's a skinny little blonde woman I met. But the fact is, it is awesome to hear the faith rise up and say, "I believe in what's impossible."
Amen.
I believe that no matter what we seem to happen in politics, I believe the politics of God can overcome. And we're going to start with Roe versus Wade. We're going to see that overturn. Whether this year or next year, the miracle of God is going to show, I'll just say it, the liberals, that God rules and reigns. That God is in control, not the political party that says we are. I mean, Karen was listening to David Horowitz, who was raised a communist. And I don't know if we're quite there yet, but he said everything in the communist faith is what is coming out of Washington, in the House of Congress, in our representatives, in our presidential party. We're seeing socialism come alive. Now, in 1932, no big deal. We're going to change this. We've got a little bias against a group called the Jews, and no big deal. 1932. By 1938, Germany allowed that concept to grow and grow and grow, and very few people stood up. A guy named Bonhoeffer stood up and preached against it, and Bonhoeffer was killed the day before Germany was liberated, 1944. But Bonhoeffer, a pastor, he began to say, what Hitler is doing is wrong. And what we didn't see is how the body of the lobsters, the body of Christ, was put into a vat of nice cold water. And it was going, this is refreshing. And we sprinkled each other and had, praise God, had a good time. And as the heat turned up, we said, "Wow, it's getting warmer here. It must be summer." And all of a sudden, we were boiling and we died. That's how our political system is today. We need to be aware of it. What I'm saying is not for you to change parties, and I'm not trying to be political. I'm trying to say the body of Messiah needs to be alive, because when we're alive, we can have discernment. Discernment is what we've been lacking, because we have not been serving God. We've been serving our church. And God doesn't want us to serve our church. He wants us to serve Him. Praise God. You know, we've had this church a long time, and we've never really worried about money and this and that. And here we have a small church, and yet we have a building that's paid off and all this stuff. Why? Because we don't believe in serving the worries and the system. We believe in serving God, and God has blessed us. We've been so blessed. Praise God. Anyway, so we need to change our perspective, okay? And let me take you to number four. It meets your fears, and it changes it to God's favor. If we have fear in our heart, we need a divine appointment from God. And I'm often reminded of Stephen. You know, Stephen went out and witnessed to the eunuch. But does anybody know what Stephen was doing before that? He was in Jerusalem serving God, praising God. And there's a sort of a criteria that we need to see, a factor that we need to see, that when we're praising God, God is going to use you. God is going to use you. And tell somebody, God is going to use you. Point. Get people excited about the fact. And God is going to use you too. I met you briefly last week at the door. Praise God. I'm glad you're back. But anyway, the bride needs to realize who they are. Never did God intend to save the bride so they could kick back on their buttocks and do nothing. The bride has been saved for one purpose, to be the representative of Messiah. As you become the representative, as you share the life of Messiah, as you bear witness to it, you begin to see that others are doing the same thing. When others are doing the same thing, come up and start praising God and backing them and supporting them and praying for them. You will see a mighty change in the bride in the next few years. Amen. Amen. That deserves a, oh my gosh, praise God. Oh my gosh, praise God. So instead of shaming Jacob for what he did, God called him, I've chosen you. So I'm going to tell you right now, every one of you have deeds that you've done. But the Bible says you are forgiven and your sins are cleansed. You're as white as snow. Everything you've done is as far as the east is from the west. Amen. You know, now we remember, we know we have consequences. So like if you murder somebody, you might go to jail. There's consequences. But you know what? In the kingdom of God, you're forgiven. You're not a murderer. And you can't sit around and say, oh, I killed, so I can't do anything for God. And Jesus says, I don't know. I don't remember that. We need to get past our own shame because God has chosen you. Say that out loud. God has chosen me. God himself has plucked me out of death and chosen me. Praise God. Could you say that one more time? I can't hear you. Amen. Praise God. See, it's the back row that gets excited first. Anyway, praise God. Number five, a divine appointment reveals his grace to you. If he's chosen you, he's forgiven you, he loves you, his grace is all over you. Praise God. And number six, divine appointments changes everything. Jacob's life was changed by this divine appointment, by the revelation. But from this time on, he would be known as part of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you know what? We serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you know why we have the blessings of Abraham? Is because the blessings that were given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are for the bride of Messiah. And the bride of Messiah is you, and you, and you, and you. And so the blessings of Abraham have been given to you because you're the heir. You're the heir to the promises. That's powerful. That is so powerful. We don't have the right to be depressed or discouraged. We don't have the right to not bear witness. Well, I don't know what to say. It doesn't matter. Say hello. How are you? Just say hello. I love you. Won't you tell me your name? Sorry. I get caught up sometimes. I can't help it. Oh, Father, help me. So, anyway, praise God. Praise God. And you know what? Just doing that, hello. I mean, we were at an airport, and I think it was Puerto Vallarta. And some guy kept staring at me. And in the airport and on airlines, you have to wear this, and they say, even if you eat, you can take this down between bites. If you drink water, you have to put it back up between sips of water. And so I had this on. I don't know if you can tell what it really is. Anyway, this is what I looked like 20 years ago. I had a dark beard. Now I can just do this and scare kids. So. Anyway, so here's the guy sitting way over here, and he kept staring at me. He was a tall guy, and I was like, okay. And so anyway, when we got on the plane, I'm on an aisle seat right here, and he sits right next to me. And of course, I still have my mask on because I'm on the airplane. And he goes, wow, that is an awesome mask. You really got my attention. And you know what we talked about? We talked about the relationship in our lives with God. And when we got off the plane in Phoenix, Karen really witnessed to him really hard. And I was real proud of my wife, because my wife sits back sometimes and watches me. But she just got right into it. He's a real tall guy, and he's divorced and has kids in Puerto Vallarta, or live there. And so we talked about the relationship with his wife fell apart. The relationship with this girlfriend is going to fall apart. No, I enjoy this. Anyway, so I said I scare little kids, Michael, not big kids. So we talked about the relationship that we have with our Father Messiah, and he was so impressed. But we had talked to so many people already, because we have to be God's anointed everywhere. And so wherever we go, we share, first of all, life. What is our relationship with God? It's love. So we just say, hi, how you doing? It's nice to meet you. And when somebody says, you know, go away, you're ugly, we go away. But a lot of people are so lonely, and they don't have that love of God. And when we have the love of God, guess what? The more we pour out, the more he fills us up. And it's amazing. So our divine departments do everything it can to change our life. And so when we meet somebody, we're encouraged. I mean, we come back. We've talked about that guy several times. Well, we're in Mexico. We met several people. And just the fact that we're friendly to just about everybody, I think everybody, it's been noticed by others. And I had a talk with this maintenance guy that just said, I know a lot of people, but you just give life to everybody you meet. You encourage people, and it's like, I said, well, I don't do that. That's the spirit of Messiah. And I said to him in Spanish, in el nombre de Jesus Cristo. And what's really fun in Mexico is when you meet a Christian, they always say, I'm not Catholic, I'm a Christian. They want you to know, because when you meet a Catholic, we go, oh, praise God, I love Mother Mary, the Jewish woman. What? She was Catholic. I said, well, no, she wasn't. History shows that she was Jewish, and guess what? So is her son. Oh, my gosh. But you know what? It opens up so many conversations, and we don't let it get to an argument. But anyway, a divine appointment is a turning point in your life. And I know we feel like, well, I'm bashful, I don't do this. Just say hello. We've been called to bear witness, and so don't be disobedient. Don't say, I can't. Don't say, well, I don't know what to say. It doesn't matter what to say. It doesn't matter. God will give you the words. If it's just, hello, how you doing? Nice to meet you. Praise God. That's fine. That's all it is bearing witness to the spirit of Messiah. So somebody say amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. The key, I believe this is the key to expect divine appointments in your life. By the way, I expect you to have more and more divine appointments. Somebody say amen. 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 In the name of Messiah, so be it. Praise God. Amen. So when Philip was bearing witness to Messiah, or Mashiach, he had the divine appointment with the eunuch. When you have a fire, a passion for him, his touch, his presence, he puts his witness in you. We're called to bear witness. I don't know what to do. But when I have faith that God is in control, God puts his witness in me, and I share happiness, joy, but eventually I share the spirit of Jesus Christ. And that's part of our life, you know. And we just let God flow. Let God do its work. It's like if there's somebody that is in a crowd or somewhere, and we know God says, go talk to that person. We say, God, I don't know what to say. And God says, just go talk. Open your mouth, and I will put words in it. And that's the power of God. All of the prophets and the disciples had a divine appointment with God, with Messiah, as they sought the very presence of Yahweh. It's interesting to read through the prophets and to see most of them says in writing, and the word of the Lord came to me. What did John say the word was? If the word is Yeshua, and we're in the Old Testament, and Abraham said, and the word of the Lord came to me, is he saying Yeshua came to him? Yes, the Spirit of God. And we get so caught up in our literal understanding and definitions. Well, let me tell you, that's impossible. Jesus Christ wasn't born for another 1,200 years. And Abraham couldn't have had an experience with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Spirit of God. Amen. Jesus Christ is the Holy Spirit. And when Abraham says, and the word of the Lord came to me, he should have just said, and someday there's going to be the Spirit who became flesh, and someday he's going to be named as Yeshua HaMashiach. And Yeshua HaMashiach came to me and taught me in the Old Testament, praise Jesus Christ, in the Old Testament, who he is. Praise God. Somebody praise God. And when we begin to see Messiah with Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob, with all the prophets, with Zephaniah, praise God. Who is that? It's in the Bible. Some guy named Hosea, praise God. I love to read Amos and Hosea. They're like two of my favorite prophets. And I love the way they get ticked off. So, but you know, they end up praising God. And it's amazing to see the word of the Lord, Jesus Christ, by Spirit, came to them. By the way, during the Old Testament, they looked forward to Messiah because they knew the Spirit of Messiah in the future was on them. And the same Spirit that was on them is on you because you never walked with Jesus Christ. You never met Jesus Christ. You never did a hoedown with Jesus Christ. You know the Spirit of God is Jesus Christ, and the Spirit of Jesus Christ brought you into the kingdom, caused you to repent, caused you to understand salvation. The same Spirit that's looking back is what they had looking forward, but it was the same Spirit. And the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in Jews. Oh, I mean in Jews. And so it's exciting to know that I'm tied into Abraham. I have the same blessings on me that he had, and the same blessings upon our generations, and the same blessings on you as we lay hands on you and see the Spirit of God anoint you and call you into his kingdom. And like I said, you're not called to be a nice lukewarm Christian. You know, praise God, I'm just going to heaven. And they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. See, I'm just waiting for God. I'm just waiting. Well, in Hebrew, that word wait means to serve. Amen. Have you ever gone to a restaurant and met a waiter that says, hey, how are you doing? Well, wait, serve me. No, I'm just waiting on, I don't know what I'm waiting on. I'm just waiting. You're a waiter. I know, I'm waiting. I want you to serve me. No, I'm a Christian. I don't believe in serving. I believe in sitting down and doing nothing. And God says, serve him. They that wait upon him and serve him shall renew their strength, shall rise up as with wings as eagles or something like that. They will run and what? Oh, man, I'm so weary. So I need to serve more. Praise God. Anyway, so the word of Yahweh came to me, and this is your miracle. Lord, I pray the word of the Bible, the word of God, the word of the Lord touches every heart here. I praise God. You're an exciting God. You're a wonderful God, and we need to be alive to serve you. So rise up. Rise up. Rise up and let the Spirit of God. I love years ago, Pastor Matt preached a sermon about shake the dust off your feet, and he could really shake, and he shook the dust off his feet. So anyway, Isaiah 61 is how I want to close this. And Michelle's going to come up here and grab a mic and read this for me. I'm only going to interrupt her a few times. Here they are here. Grab a mic. Open your scroll.
I did.
You did, okay. And I'll find Isaiah 61. Go ahead.
The mighty spirit of the Lord Yahweh is upon me.
Praise God.
Because Yahweh has anointed me.
Wow.
As a messenger to preach good news to the poor.
Who's going to do that?
Me.
Oh, praise God. Anybody else?
Me.
Them.
Praise God.
He sent me to heal the wounds of the brokenhearted, to tell the captives, hey, you are free.
Amen.
And to tell the prisoners, be free from your darkness.
Amen. Praise God. There's more.
I'm going to go up here because this is really small. I am sent to announce the new season of Yahweh's grace and a time of God's recompense on his enemies, to comfort all who are in sorrow.
Wait, read that first part. Who is that? I am?
I am.
Didn't God say that?
I am the office of Messiah on this earth.
Amen. That's right. Anyway, so what else does God want you to do?
He sent me to strengthen those crushed by despair.
Amen.
Who mourn in Zion, oh, the kingdom, his people.
God's going to use you to encourage people, strengthen people, and to help people who are mourning in the body of Messiah, in Zion, the kingdom of God.
We are to give with the spirit of love. Give them a beautiful bouquet in the place of ashes.
Amen. Praise God.
The oil of bliss instead of tears. And the mantle of joyous praise instead of the spirit of heaviness. Because of this, they will be known as mighty oaks of righteousness.
Amen.
Planted Yahweh as a living display of his glory.
Amen. Praise God. Keep going.
Messiah's ministries. But you, tell the person next to you, you, there. You will be known as priests of Yahweh and called servants of our God. You will feast
Let me just interrupt. You know, Peter, we think, just came out of nowhere and said, you are the kingdom of priests. But Isaiah said it here. You will be known, praise God, as priests of Yahweh, praise God. And you will be called the servants of our Elohim.
Amen.
And go ahead. You will feast, I think.
You will feast on the wealth of nations.
Amen.
And revel in their riches, because you received a double dose of shame and dishonor.
Oh, Lord.
You will inherit a double portion of endless joy and everlasting bliss.
Let's just praise
Amen.
God and give him a hand.
Praise
God.
Anyway.
Thank you, Michelle. Praise God. Anyway, so stand with me. Jerry's going to play a song. I think this is our last slide. Can I go back one? I want several people to pray out loud for divine appointments on you and the rest of the bride. So who wants to start praying? Who wants to start praying who wants to prophesy? Who wants to pray in tongues? Who wants to see God's glory fall upon you? Amen. Somebody start praying. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Anybody else want to pray? Because I believe, praise God, in these prayers. Go ahead. Amen.
And we thank you that you are doing the same with Mike and Edith, and that you are doing it with each and every one of us, Lord, that you will give us that tongue that is yours, not ours, that you are giving us your mind, your heart. We thank you that you are burning us up. You are setting us on fire.
Amen.
You are sending us forth.
Amen.
To the captives, Lord, to set them
Amen.
All free. Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Amen. I pray that each of us are moved to have more divine appointments in our life, are moved past the lukewarm lethargy in our life, move past the shyness in our life, and move into his work, his presence, his tongue, his spirit, in Yeshua's name. Amen.